this week, I want you to take your bulletin with you wherever you go, and when you're sitting in line, like it, waiting to go to the bank, or what are you doing, take this out and read some of it. It's full of, it's the greatest chapter in the Bible on our suffering Savior. So that's why I did that specifically. And so you guys, take this week. This is the Holy Week. This is our holiest week in the whole year because of what Jesus did for us. You know, Christmas is awesome. We love Christmas. But without Easter, it would have been to no avail. Amen. And even at the end, Jesus said, I could call 10,000 angels. And think, do you guys just look at this in your mind's eye? Just open up heaven and see those 10,000 angels with their swords. And just a word, and they would have destroyed planet Earth. And they would have rescued Jesus. But really, he didn't need 10,000 angels. He could have just said the word, and he could have been delivered. Amen? But he didn't. He did it for us. He hung on that cross. He went through all that he went through. And I want us to go back in our minds. This is Palm Sunday. Amen? And this is when we celebrate the risen Christ, in a sense. As you go back, Palm Sunday, and the prophecy said there would be a king, and he would ride on a donkey, and he would come and reveal himself. And Jesus revealed himself that day. Palm Sunday, Jesus allowed the world to see, yes, I am the Messiah. I am the coming king. So what happened after Palm Sunday? Man, can you imagine in your mind, see this, the disciples have lost everything because of Jesus. They followed Jesus for 3 years. They, in their mind, what do they see? They see this king coming. He's going to destroy the Roman Empire. He's going to set up his kingdom, and they are going to rule and reign with Christ, and they are going to have it so good. Amen. Can you see the excitement that they felt that day, over 2,000 years ago, that Sunday morning, the excitement they felt on Palm Sunday? Okay, we leave Palm Sunday. Monday starts. What happens? Jesus goes to the temple. He cleanses the temple. He teaches, he ministers, he does everything he's been doing every day since he started ministry, and things are not going as the disciples had planned. Things are going downhill really quick. From him being saying, hey, this is our king, to him saying, hey, we got to get rid of this guy. You know, he's not doing what we want him to do. So in that week, I just wanted to go back, talk a little bit about what Jesus went through that week. Have you guys ever dreaded what is going to happen next? Have you ever been in that situation that you just had a dread? And I think that Jesus went through that this week. I was thinking about it. You've lost a loved one, and you know that things are not going well, and you just dread what's coming next. You just don't want it to happen so bad. But you just have that dread. And then maybe you went through Hurricane Ivan, and maybe you went through Hurricane Dennis, and you had this terrible dread, as the newscaster said, Hurricane Dennis is coming down Avalon Boulevard. And you go, oh, God, this isn't going to be good any way you look at it. And you just dread knowing what you're going to have to go through the next few weeks. Amen? Amen. Maybe it's even something good that you dread. Maybe your son or your daughter is going off to college, and that's a good thing. Or maybe your son or your daughter is joined the military, and that's a good thing. But you dread it because you know nothing will ever be the same again. Amen. Well, I just think that Jesus dreaded that week so bad. He was looking forward to the anticipation of he was going to leave planet Earth, and he was going to be at the right hand of his Father at the end of this process. But he had to go through the process. Amen? Amen. And we see him there in Jerusalem ministering to his disciples, ministering to people like he did every day of his ministry. He was there. He could be counted on. And now he was facing the worst week of his life. And yet he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that the disciples were going to turn against him. They were going to flee. They were going to save their own lives. He knew that the Sanhedrin was planning his murder. As he ministered, he knew that all of these things had to take place first. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, a little bit about that. And I've written some things down that happened after Palm Sunday. And that was, okay, he went on teaching, he went on preaching, he went on taking care of what he needed to take care of. But then he went and he celebrated the Passover week. He was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. He said, this will be the last time I will celebrate this with you again. And then he brought in the Last Supper. And he told them, he said, I'm not going to be here again. I'm going to go away. And still they couldn't put it around their mind. What is happening here? Surely he's going to be the king and king that we want him to be. We want him to rule and reign now. We don't want him to rule and reign tomorrow. We want him to do it now. Amen. Have you ever been in that situation with the Lord? I want you to do this now, God. I don't have time to wait any longer. You know, I want you to do it now. We're sort of now people, aren't we? We don't want to wait. Well, Jesus was talking about a whole different kingdom. Now, we know that. We know he was talking about a kingdom that he will come and he will rule supreme upon this earth. But it wasn't then. He told Pilate, he said, if my kingdom was of this world, my disciples would be fighting. But my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is to come. Amen. Amen. Everything had to be fulfilled that was mentioned in the Bible. And it was through this holy week. Amen. That's one of the things I wanted to bring out in Isaiah 53. Read this chapter over and over and over this week and get a feeling of what Jesus did for us, the suffering Christ. He suffered for us, and he did all of this because he loved us. And it's such a beautiful chapter, and I want you guys to just get in there. It really starts Isaiah 52, about the 14th verse, on through that chapter. There's only 12 verses in the chapter, so it's good. So anyway, I wrote down a few things that Jesus did this week. Okay, he celebrated the Passover with his disciples. He instituted the Lord's Supper. He predicts Peter's denial of him. Amen. Jesus prays in the garden. I want us to go to the garden for a minute, because this is the suffering Christ. And I was thinking about that dread thing again. He was saying, Father, if it's possible, deliver me from this. But if it's not possible, I'm willing to go through with it. And amen. And thank you, Jesus, that he did, right? Amen. He did. He went through this. So he's praying in the garden, knowing that his disciples are going to flee, run the scene, take care of their own self. But he goes on, he says, he's in such agony, he's sweating drops of blood. He says, but Father, let your will be done. Let your will be done. And we've got to come to that in our lives where we say, Father, your will be done over my will. Amen. There's always going to be this pull, but we've always got to submit to the will of the Father. And I was thinking during this Holy Week, you know, just write down some things that maybe you would like to correct, maybe some weaknesses that we have in our life, maybe some victories that we would like to win. Amen. And believe God that this week it's going to be done. If you need some miracles in your life, I want to talk just a minute about Donna Carr. She's not here today. She had a terrible week. Sometimes these weeks get really bad, don't they? First of all, her mother has to be taken to the hospital emergency. They don't know how bad it is. Miss Betty's an awesome lady. She's just great. We love her so much. But she, you know, so Donna is there all day long, like about 20 hours, I think. She finally got home, I think, at midnight. She's there all day with her mother. And then the next day, Donna falls. Now, Donna is prone to accidents. Anyway, she fell and almost killed herself, so she could hardly walk. The next day, her father's rushed to the hospital. They don't know what's going on. He's bleeding, and the brain is bleeding. He's just going through all these things, and Donna is just in a mess. You know, have you ever been in that situation where it just seems to get worse and worse? Well, really, really pray for her. She was telling me, she said, I need to go see Tommy. It's been 3 weeks since I've seen Tommy. I said, Donna, we prayed. I said, let's just put it in God's hands. And you get up Sunday morning, you decide what you want to do. If you feel well enough to go to see Tommy, go see Tommy. If you feel like you need to go see your daddy. But he is doing better. He's in the hospital still. But the doctor said that he thought he was coming around. So really pray for Donna. And there's others. Your parents get to a certain age, and you just wish they, you know, you didn't have to go through that. You just, you love them. You don't want them to have to suffer. And you're in this situation, and so, Lord, we just pray for all those situations that we find ourselves in right now, Lord. We pray for Donna. We pray for her family, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for miracles and miracles and miracles. Lord, we thank you that you are a miracle-working God. And right now, I want you to reach out. I want you to reach out. If you need a miracle, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, if your mama and daddy needs a miracle, you've got to know somebody that needs a miracle. Let's just reach out right now and say, Father, I take hold. This is a miracle week. This is the holy week. This is your holy week that you suffered and you died for us. And Lord, we thank you that you were willing to go through this week. you were willing to go through this week for us. And Lord, we thank you right now, Father, for miracles. I thank you for miracles for my son, Freddie. Thank you, Lord, that he's not in pain. I thank you that his wife isn't in pain. I thank you, Lord, for Sister King. I thank you, Lord, for healing Sister King, Lord. I thank you for healing your church, for healing your body. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that this week, Lord, we thank you for those miracles that we have prayed for so long, Lord, that they will surely come to pass. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I saw this wonderful testimony this week, and it was about such an encouragement because, you know, we want God to heal us right now. Yesterday would have been a good idea, Lord. You knew it was going to happen, but sometimes God doesn't for whatever reasons, right? Well, as a matter of fact, she was probably in her 40s. She had 7 children. But anyway, she said when she was a teenager and she was a cheerleader, she began to have back problems. And she just ignored them. Finally, they got so bad, she started asking prayer. She was also the youth leader of their church. And so she had to be active. She had to do a lot, you know, 7 kids, active all the time. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse. And pretty soon, you know, people are praying for her all the time. You know, everywhere she goes, people are praying for her. And she's no better. And she, you know, it got so bad, she finally went to the doctor. And they said, yeah, hey, you need major back surgery. You know, your back is just a mess. Everything needs to be, everything, anyway. And she said, you know, they prayed for her again. They prayed for her again. For years, she's getting prayed for, right? And she said, one day, all of a sudden, they pray for her again. And she doesn't even know anything's happened. She gets up the next morning, and she thought, wow, something's different. What could be different, you know? And she's healed. But isn't that awesome? But she said, the thing is, don't give up. Don't give up. Just get and press through and get prayed for. Don't give up and say, God, I'm through this. It's not going to happen. It's not your will for me to be healed. Now, I do believe that God heals instantly, and I know he does. But if you're waiting on your healing, don't give up. Don't give up, my brother. Amen. God wants to heal you. And so isn't God good? Well, sometimes we just have to go through a process. We don't know why, but we do. And that's what Jesus was going through that holy week. He knew he was preparing the disciples. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. And they kept saying no. Peter says, no, I'm not going to let you do it, Lord. And Jesus keeps telling them, yes, this is what is going to happen. And they just did not want to accept it. Sometimes we don't want to accept it, do we? But sometimes we have to. God says, you know, you have to accept this. Amen. But anyway, here they are. And it's Good Friday. They've had their last supper together. They go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus is praying. He's praying. And he says, you know, just pray with me for 3 hours. The disciples are so exhausted, they fall asleep immediately. I would do that. I would do that. The Lord knows I would do that. Because I can't stay awake. So I would be over there curled up in a ball and pray. You know, I would be asleep. So anyway, he comes back and he says, you know, can't you just pray with me a little while longer? And they want to, but they can't. They go back to sleep. Finally, he comes and he said, it's okay. It's time now. And what do? They all run away. How often do we run away? God is convicting us of our sins. God is saying it's time to straighten up. God is saying this is time. Amen. And we just sort of fall asleep. We just sort of do something else. Amen. Instead of facing the fact that God says it's time. And there are times in our life that God says it's time for us to straighten up some areas. And that's what God wants us to do. So Jesus goes to the cross. But we know before he goes to the cross what he has to go through. He has to face the Sanhedrin. He has to face Pilate. He has to face the humiliation of being dragged through the streets of Jerusalem naked and beat to, you know. I had to tell you guys this story. I was, I'd gotten Donna, brought her down here to the church, and so I didn't have anything to do. And I have a habit when Donna's working, I come in and I chat with her. So I thought, well, I need to do something because she can't get anything done because I'm talking to her. So I'm going out, and so I start pruning our rose bush over here. By the way, it looks awesome. But anyway, so I'm pruning the rose bush. And, yeah, I did a good job. It really turned. So anyway, I got a thorn in my, right here. I got a thorn right there. And I plucked it out and threw it down. And I thought, it irritated. It hurt a little bit. Well, a couple hours later, you know, I'm rubbing my thumb, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, I look, and it's all black and blue, like totally black and blue. And I'm thinking, wow, that was just one little thorn. It's like the Lord just said, and the thorns that Jesus had on his head was a crown of thorns. No wonder he was so marred you couldn't recognize him. He was totally black and blue by then. Because about one little thorn, I mean, one little rose thorn out here, these were huge thorns. Can you imagine the hurt he must have felt? Can you imagine the pain, the suffering? We can't imagine it. Amen? Amen. But he did it for us. He did it for us. He went through every step for us. He could have cut it short. He could have said, I'm not going to go any farther. This is ridiculous. These people, and some of the things that are the saddest things are in the Bible. You read, go back to Noah. And God tells Noah, he said, I regret that I made them. Isn't that the saddest thing you've ever heard? God says, I regret I made mankind. But now I'm stuck with them. No, he didn't say that. He said, he didn't give up, though. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't give up. Yeah, amen. So he didn't give up. He went on. And then in Deuteronomy, he brings them into the land of plenty, the promised land. And he says, you're going to inherit cities you didn't build. You're going to inherit orchards you didn't plant. You're going to do all this. And when you get rich and fat, guess what you're going to do? You're going to forget me. And he said, no, Lord, I'll never forget you, you know. But they forgot him. And he knew it. But he went on. Isn't that wonderful about our Father? That he went on, he fulfilled the word. Would we have done that? No, we'd have walked, say, this is it. I can't handle this anymore. But Jesus went on and fulfilled the word of God. Amen. So when we're in this Holy Week coming up, guys, take time to really, really get before the Lord and just take those extra opportunities to really seek God. Amen. There's a couple of things. Okay, Jesus goes through the agony of the cross. He goes through the pain, the suffering, the humiliation, everything that he had to go through for us. Amen. He won the battle. He won the race. And he is in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, and he comes out of that grave. And so that's what I want to talk about. What happened after the grave? Amen. Because some really awesome things happened. It was worth the price. Amen. Because of us. He did it for us. He said he endured the shame for the joy that was set before him. We were that joy. We were the joy that was set before him. Amen. Amen. One of the things that happens, one of the things is when he said at Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he said, all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. And now go out and win the world for me. Amen. So he gives us the authority. He says, now I have all authority. Now I give it to you. Now go do something with it. Amen. So take some opportunity to witness this week, because it's really an awesome time to witness. It's Easter. Hey, you can say, isn't it a great time? Jesus died for me. And I was just talking, I ran up to the store and got some stuff at Hall's, and the guy that was helping me was a Christian. We were talking about how wonderful Easter was, the greatest time of the year. Amen. So we're really having our own little thing going there. But isn't that neat that you can share? That you can share with other Christians. And this guy was, anyway, I'm sharing with him that, you know, this, we were redoing stuff. And he said, yeah, I just had another church in here that was buying all sorts of stuff. So people are doing things, and that's a good thing. Okay, he says, I've been given all authority. Now I give you the authority. Now go out and win the world. I need the world won. Amen. So let's get busy this year, folks. Let's get out there. And this is all a witness, but we need to witness. We need to bring people into the kingdom. Amen, because we want Jesus to return, and we want that to happen. The next thing I want to talk about, let's turn to Romans 8:14 real quick. There's so much to say, and I don't want to just rattle on for the purpose of that, but I want to, so much to say. Anyway, Romans 8, verse 14. Chapter 8, verse 14. Okay. Now, I'm not quite sure if that's right. Romans 8, 14. I should have lost my place here. Patience, everyone. Oh, let's see. But anyway, the scripture I want, and if you guys find it before I do, because there's a whole bunch of scriptures, is that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead indwells me, and it shall quicken my mortal body. So I want you guys to picture this. It's Easter morning. Jesus comes out of that grave. He says, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead indwells me, and it shall quicken my mortal body. Amen. So there's that quickening. So he says, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead indwells me, and it shall quicken my mortal body. So as it quickened Jesus, it's going to quicken us. Amen. God wants our body to be quickened. So I want you guys to see, whatever pain you're in this morning, whatever physical problems you're going through, I want you to close your eyes right now, and I want you to see that spirit of the living God coming out of that grave, and that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead indwells you, and it shall quicken your mortal body. So see that quickening going on. God wants to quicken your mortal body. He wants you to raise from the grave. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we thank you that what you did for us. And this is one of the things that happened at Easter. Everything Jesus did for himself, he did for us. That quickening is for us. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm so excited. I'm getting some new glasses, which I desperately need. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, if you guys have time when you get home, read this whole chapter. It's awesome. But right now, for time, we're going to just settle in on the 17th verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are we in Christ? Amen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Are we a new creation today? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So all things have become new. We have the power because of Jesus that it's become new. Amen. We become a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So all those old things that used to pull you down no longer has authority over you. Amen. We have the authority over them. And I'm going to go to another verse to prove it to you. Colossians. Turn to Colossians. Okay. Colossians 1:12. Just keep on going down the road. Colossians 1:12. It just gets better, guys. This is why you need to just study, study, study. You know, there's nothing good on TV to watch. You just read the Word. Amen? Just get in the Word. You're going to be so blessed. You won't know what to do with yourself. So Colossians 1:12, and this is really, really good. And you just want to read the whole chapter, but I won't. I really want to read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to. Amen. So starting with the 12th verse, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So we are inheritance. We are inheriting all this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. 13 is what I want to settle on. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So, amen. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we leave the kingdom of darkness and we are conveyed or transferred into the kingdom of God's light, into the kingdom of God. Amen. So the powers of darkness no longer has power over us. Isn't that an awesome thing? Amen. So Satan has no power over us unless we let him have power over us. So he has delivered us from the power of darkness. So there are two kingdoms in this world, spiritual kingdoms. And that is the kingdom of darkness, which Satan controls, and the kingdom of light, which is God's kingdom. Amen. So when we accept Jesus, we are transferred from that one kingdom to the other kingdom. And we don't ever have to go back to that kingdom. Amen. We're not of that kingdom anymore. So when the enemy comes to try to steal, kill, and destroy, you say, hey, I've already left that kingdom. I am no longer in the kingdom of darkness. I am over here in the kingdom of light. If you have a problem with that, take it up with my big brother. But he's the one who did it. Amen. So the power that God has given, we're a new creation in Christ because of what Jesus did at Calvary. We have been transferred from one kingdom to the other. So Satan has no more power over us unless we allow it. Now, we do have to be careful. If we do stupid, there's a lot of occult stuff going on today, and I'm not, like, even in concerning if you have Indian heritage, and I do, and I'm really proud of my Indian blood, but that Indian religion is of the darkness, you know, so don't go there. Don't get out your feathers and do this sort of stuff, because it's not good. It's not going to get you anywhere but into more bondage, and God doesn't want you to go there. Amen. So this week also, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there anything that I'm doing in my life, even ignorantly, that you're not pleased with, so I can straighten that mess up and get back in the kingdom of light? Because any of this stuff that we do, even ignorantly, pulls us back. And Satan is right there to bounce on you and take advantage of you and say, okay, let's go there. Let's go there. So anything that's of the occult, no matter how nice it sounds, no matter how whatever it sounds, don't go there. Renounce it, because it's part of the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Amen. Satan has been defeated. He's not going to tell you that. And he's not going to, hopefully you won't know it, but he has been defeated. And this is in, guys, let's turn over really quick to Revelations. What time is it? Oh my gosh, I've got lots of time. Let's turn over to Revelations real quick here. I love this chapter in Revelations. It's so awesome. Revelations 12. We need a light right over here because it's sort of dark. Yeah, we do, don't we? Larry, would you do that? Okay, thank you. Larry can do a lot of stuff. He is a very talented guy. We have some awesome, talented people in this church, I tell you, which is a good thing because I don't have any talent. I mean, I'm pretty good. You say, okay, Sister Claudia, it's great, just like this. I can do that, but to come up with an original thought. But anyway, okay, here we are in Revelations, the 12th chapter. This is an awesome chapter because there's war in heaven, and I always thought that was so strange. In all places, there is war, and we know there's war everywhere, right? But this war is taking place in heaven. There's not supposed to be war in heaven, is there? Amen. But there is. And guys, I'm going to sidetrack just for a second. I was just on the news for, you know, to see what the weather, like it's a beautiful day. I think I'll check the weather. Anyway, they mentioned that a church, brothers and sisters in Egypt, they were at Palm Sunday service. They bombed it. They were like, I think 40 Christians killed plus many injured. This was in a church in Egypt. Did you hear about it, Michelle? So, you know, this is going on all over the world. Our brothers and sisters are dying. And you know, we're at Palm Sunday. We're here. So, you know, just really pray for the persecuted church. And previous to this, there was another bombing a couple of weeks ago in Egypt. So there's a lot of horrible stuff that's going on when the body of Christ across the world. So pray for your brothers and sisters. Amen. So there's a war going on all over the world because Satan isn't going to leave this planet and be put in that bottomless pit without a fight. And he is fighting the church. He is fighting. And so we've got to be stronger, braver than he is. And do you notice, I mentioned this to Dan, because I've been meditating on Easter for quite a while. But when Jesus was hanging on that cross, I think there's a verse that says that Satan would have hung himself on the cross rather than to see Jesus on the cross if he really had known what was going on. So he's not really as smart as he thinks he is, because, you know, all of these angels are on standby. They're going to, you know, come to Jesus' rescue. Where is Satan in all this? He doesn't even know what's going on. I'm sure he knows something's going on, but he doesn't know what's going on. Or he would have stopped it, right? So it goes to show that he only has so much power. And really, it's only the power we give him. And I'm not saying that he has not been living on this planet for many, many years, and he is able to figure us out pretty quickly. But we don't need to give him any ammunition, right? That's what I'm talking about. Well, here in the 12th chapter, there's a war in heaven. And listen to this. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. So there's this tremendous battle going on up in heaven. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And he's been on the rampage ever since. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdoms of our God, the kingdom of our God and the powers of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brother who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him. This is the secret. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What did just happen? Easter. Amen. We're celebrating Easter. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. There are 40 odd, maybe more Christians today in Egypt that are with God. Amen. They love not their lives to the end. So that's where we could be. Amen. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, but we know that God will be there. Amen. God was with these people today, and they were ushered into his kingdom. Amen. But it said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus has just went through in Calvary. Is that Gracie? She is such a busy little girl. Everyone, this is Gracie, if you don't know her. She belongs to Paul and Rachel Broad. She knows them. This happened. Go back a long time ago, and I was in the nursery at the Free Methodist Church in Seattle, Washington, and I was in the nursery. And the pastor's granddaughter and grandson got out of the nursery, unbeknown to me. Same thing happens. He's preaching. The kids come out. I'm going, oh, my God, where are they? Where are they? You know, and they're there, you know, so I'm thinking, oh, God. It was so embarrassing, you know. It's bad when you lose children out of the nursery. It really is not the best thing. Guys, I've been in the nursery for a long time. But anyway, okay, we see what this great thought, this great war is taking place in heaven. Isn't that awesome? Can you not just see that? Who's not watched Star Wars? You've seen those wars in heaven, right? Okay, this is the real thing. It really happens in heaven. And okay, how did they overcome? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What testimony? Our testimony, but also the testimony of this book. This is why you need to know this book so well. If you don't know this book, then Satan's going to come to steal, kill, and destroy you. And he's going to do it any way he can because that's his job. And he does his job well. Amen. And so, but we have overcome him. We're the overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by what Jesus did at Calvary, the word of our testimony. Amen. And that we are willing to die if need be. We are willing to die. Amen. We need to decide that before it gets here. What if it were to happen here? Happened in a church in South Carolina, didn't it? These people were having, they were having prayer meeting. This young man comes in, and they welcome him. They don't know him, but they welcome him because they figure if you're at Bible study and prayer meeting, you must be in the right place. Amen? So they welcome him, and he sits through the whole thing. And then he kills them all to make a statement. So we cannot say that this will never happen here. I pray it never happens. God forbid that it happens. But we have to be ready. We have to decide before we get there if we're going to go there. Amen. Because if we're not settled, then we're going to say, hey, you know, I think there was I read many, many years ago about, you know, Russia. They were meeting in secret, this group of Christians, and these two soldiers come in, and they say, you know, okay, line up. We're going to kill you all. You that aren't sure about your salvation, you can leave. And they left. A lot of people left. There were a few that stayed behind because they were willing to die for Christ. And then these soldiers said, we're Christians, but we wanted to make sure that you were the right people. We can't afford to be here if you're not willing to die. So who knows what God will require of us. Amen? Amen. But it will be awesome. Just think, we would get a martyr's crown that we will throw at Jesus' feet. Isn't that awesome? So God has us covered. But I just wanted us to understand that all that Jesus did for us was so awesome, and how we have benefited from us. We are new creations in Christ. We have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear life. We have been given, and we have a big brother who ever intercedes for us. Oh my gosh, when you read the Bible, it's all full of benefits that Jesus has done for us. Just because he stayed on that cross, just because he went through, and he said, Father, your will, not my will. And isn't that what it has to come to in our lives? Whose will are we going to follow? Is it going to be God's will or my will? Amen. So this week, guys, take some time to really meditate. Just, you know, take your bulletin, read over and over Isaiah 53. There is tremendous amounts of prophecies about what Jesus did, and every one of them was fulfilled. Take advantage of the time and fast, pray, seek a closer walk with the Lord. We need to get closer to the Lord. I need to get closer to the Lord. Somebody was saying they were somewhere, and this person came up to somebody else and said, "You need more of Jesus." And this person was offended. And I thought, we do need more of Jesus. If you don't need more of Jesus, I don't know where you would be. I need more of Jesus. I need more of Jesus. And I want to open my heart for more of Jesus. But I don't know how much time I have left on this planet. You don't know how much time you've got left. Amen? So we need to be in that position where, hey, God, I want all of you. I want every cell, every fiber of my being filled with Jesus. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a job to do, and we need to do it. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this week, this holy week that is before us, Lord. Lord, help us to just be so thankful. Help us to be thankful about everything that you have allowed in our life. Lord, we are so grateful that you chose us to be your children, to be your sons and daughters. Thank you, Jesus, that you stayed on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to pay the full price. And Lord, we thank you for faithful people. We thank you for faithful people. We thank you for a faithful church. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters across the world that are being martyred for you, that they were there not knowing if they would die or not die, but they were there. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that I thank you, Father, that for your precious gift. I thank you for the blood. I thank you that Jesus will return one day and set up his kingdom. And even, Father, it could be in our day. It could be in our day. Lord, we thank you for Calvary. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, that the war in heaven was won by Jesus. It was won. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for just what you are doing today on this earth. And we just give you all the praise. Lord, be with Donna today in an awesome way. Be with your children that are suffering, that are afraid, that are scared, that are just those that are having terrible financial problems, Lord. Thank you. And thank you, Lord, for that person that can give that $4,000. Thank you for that person, Lord. We thank you for just doing miracles and miracles. We thank you that this is a miracle week. Nothing is too difficult for you, Lord. We thank you that our nurseries are completed. We thank you, Lord, that all that you are a great, mighty God, Lord Jesus. We just give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what we could do, we could ask that person, okay, where are you today? I mean, some people do have $4,000 they could give. It would not be a big thing for them. So just pray. Who knows what God will do and say, and that would be great. But if you don't have $4,000, you might have $30 like Robin said, and you could give James $30 to buy a thing of wood or whatever this stuff is. But anyway, God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you're awesome. You're awesome in this house. And Lord, we thank you for the testimony of the miracles that you're going to be doing this week. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Oh, God.